We're holding on for Gimel Amud Beis, beginning the fourth parak. The subject of our parak is going to be basically various cases of women who are not able to drink the socha water, even though she and her husband are perfectly willing to go through with it. Well, some of them actually is going to be, one of them is going to be where her husband is not willing, but whatever. In general, where there's no other impediment, there's no edim that she's tame, she's not refusing to drink and so forth, but because of various other considerations that we're going to learn about in the Gemara, then she's not able to drink the sota water, and therefore the result is, as usual, when she can't drink the sota water, and there's already been tenuous stira, she's going to be also to her husband, and in most cases, she's going to forfeit her ksuba. So the Mishnah starts off Arusa, a woman who was an Arusa, and her Arus was Mekane for her, and then there was Stira and all that. The Shemeras Yavam, and also where she's a Shemeras Yavam, she hasn't yet done Yibum, but she's in that limbo state between when her husband passed away and when the Yavam does Yibum with her. Lo Shosis for the Noitlis Ksuba. They do not drink the soita water, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. Psukim for that. The Mishnah is going to bring one such pasuk. V'loy noitlis ksuba, and they also don't get a ksuba. Shenema, because the pasuk says ashtista isha tachas isha. The pasuk says that a woman goes astray under, meaning while married to her husband. And therefore, tachas isha means prat la arusa. V'shemeres yavam means as opposed to an arusa and a shemeres yavam because they're not tachas isha. Tosfos brings the expression from the Yerushalmi that both of these women know that, as we're going to go on to explain, that they can't drink the sota water. So when they went into stira to begin with, they must have realized that this is going to cause them to forfeit their ksuba. And therefore, indeed, that's what happens, and the ksuba is forfeit. Tosfos goes on to discuss that usually the ksuba only kicks in at nisuin, but sometimes you have, as we learned in ksuba, sometimes they may have a ksuba that's in effect even before that, at least the basic 100 and 200. So they don't drink and they don't get the ksuba. Continues the Mishnah, other cases of a woman who doesn't drink, and Tosfos points out, now on the face of it, the Mishnah could have given one long list. Why is it dividing it into separate lists? The answer is because they come from different psukim and different reasons. The Mishnah continues, Almona la Kohen Gadol, if it was an Almona married to a Kohen Gadol, which is also anyway, Grush of a Chalutza la Kohen Hedyet, or Grush of a Chalutza. Now, in all these cases, Kiddushin are Tofus. It was a valid marriage al Pialacha. They just weren't allowed to be married. And in particular, the idea is, the whole idea of the May Sota is for her and her husband to reconcile and for them to be able to continue staying married. Here, the whole point is, we don't want them to stay continuing married anyway. So if it's a grusha chalutza, grusha being also daraisa, all of this connects with this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, you have a mitzvah that a kohen hedyet is not allowed to marry a grusha, and the rabbanon also not a chalutza, and a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an amona. So all those cases. Also, mamzeres or nesina l'Yisrael. Likewise, if the woman was a mamzeres or nesina and she's married to Yisrael, where there's an isser involved. As far as the nesinim, there's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether it's strictly derabbanon or whether Rashi learns that it's strictly derabbanon. As after all, they did convert. Tosfos learns because they're from the seven nations that they're actually also daraisa. What it is that when the Gemara mentions, we learned in Yevamos, that David made the gzera on them, it means that they're going to remain avodim. But Tosfos at the beginning of in Ksubas discusses, we learned this at the time, a whole discussion of, is it that maybe the Issur in the Torah was only the fact that they're going to be avodim, rather, was only a temporary one, and Yeshua made it as long as the Mishmichah is standing, and David made it forever. Anyway, the point is, whether it's Daraisa or Darabonim, there's an Issur for a Jewish man to marry a Nesina, and therefore, so that marriage, even though Kiddushin or Tosfos, but the marriage is actually osur. So all those cases, lo shrosis, lo notas ksuba, all of those women don't drink if they become sotas, because again, the whole point of the sota is only in order to be able to be matter it for her, to be matter her to her husband, and she's not going to get a ksuba either, because the fact is there was kinui and there was stira, and therefore they're going to forfeit their ksuba. Usually, by the way, it is true. Rashi points out that you, in a regular case where, for example, an almana marries a kohen gadol and so on and so forth, usually the chachamim don't penalize her and take away her ksuba, because after all, as much as she did wrong by marrying him, he also did wrong by marrying her. So there's no reason why we should allow him to benefit. But here, the fact is, there was also the stira. So the same way as a kshera, the same way as a regular kosher marriage, where she can't drink the sota water for one reason or another, then she forfeits her ksuba. Here, where the psulim, she certainly doesn't gain from that. So that's the list so far. The Rambam actually, now we mentioned before actually that Rashi and the Rambam disagree when the Gemara tells us earlier in the Masechta, and it's going to again tell us at the end of the Masechta, that the rule is Bizman Sho Ishman Nukame Oven, when the husband is clean of guilt as far as Bia, then the water will test his wife, and if not, then not. Rashi learns that applies strictly to the Bia, which becomes also as a result of the Sota process, meaning that when she becomes a Sota, as we learned before, she also to her husband until she drinks the mei sota. So now, if her husband were to have relations with her, then he would be over on that, and then the water doesn't work anymore. According to Rashi, that it's strictly that point. If the husband was guilty of other bias asuris, then no problem, the water would still work. The Rambam disagrees. So now, according to Rashi, then the reason why in the case of these women, why the sota water doesn't work is again because they're not rory for their husband. They're not rory to be married, and therefore the water doesn't work. According to the Rambam, you have a different reason, is because the fact is this man, by marrying this woman in the first place, did an issur, because all of them are also deraisa or derabanan, as the case may be, and therefore that would be reason enough that we know the sota water is not going to work in the first place, and therefore we're not going to give it to her to drink. As far as the arusa at the beginning of the Mishnah, by the way, Tosfos gets into a discussion. Actually, Rashi first gets into a discussion. Now, or not the arusa, the Shemeres Yavam, rather. So now, we said in the Mishnah, we said earlier, Shemeres Yavam becomes osur and forfeits uksuba. Now, we learned in the second parak, we learned a few dafim ago on Daf Yud Ches, we had Rav Hamnuna's statement that if a Shemeres Yavam is mezana, she becomes osur to her husband. And we discussed that the Gemara had said the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna, although Tosfos said maybe after all it is. Now, Rashi says, in our case over here, if we're talking about a Shemeres Yavam, and the question is whether she becomes osur. The question is that we're saying that she doesn't drink and she becomes osur. So what do you mean? If we follow Rav Hamnuna, then sure, it's easy enough to understand why she's osur. But if we don't follow Rav Hamnuna, and the Gemara there did say the halacha is not like him, then what's the problem? Even if she was mizaneh while she was a Shemeres Yavam, she'd still be mutter to the Yavam. So Rashi answers, that's true. Nevertheless, the Yavam has every right to say, I don't want to marry a Zoyna. So it's your fault. I would have been perfectly willing to do Yibum with you. And it's true, technically now I am allowed to do Yibum with you, but I don't want to have to do Yibum with somebody like you. So therefore, that would be reason enough for her to forfeit her ksuba. Tosfos discusses that, further. There's actually a Gemara in Yevamos that discusses that point as well. And the Gemara there discusses it more in connection with the Arusa, and it gives a couple of different answers over there of how, b'chlal, the question is, doesn't the kinui have to be at a time when she would be osur to him? And as a Shemeres Yavam, she's not going to be osur to him. So the Gemara actually gives there a couple of different answers, among them, that maybe we're talking about that our Gemara is going to bring this also, actually, that maybe he had relations with her before officially doing Yibum with her, which then the Gemara is going to ask, one second, the first relations they have makes them fully married anyway. We learned back in Yevamos that Midar Aisa, you don't need anything else other than Bia, But the Gemara discusses several possibilities in the case of an Arusa. Also, the Gemara is going to deal with the possibilities over there of what happened between them before the marriage. The Gemara is going to give, you know, the Gemara over there gives an answer that, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that it's true that that he couldn't do kinui as an Arusa when she's an Arusa, but we could be talking about that it's included by Gilgul Shavua. We talked about it before. Once he's making those swear, then already he's able to add other things. And then the Gemara brings up the possibility over there that maybe he can do the kinui while she's an Arusa. And then we're talking about the stira happened only after they got married. Anyway, so there is a Gemara in Yevamos that deals with that and brings to a certain extent some of the things that we're going to have in the Gemara over here, but then disagrees with it, or possibly disagrees with it on various grounds. Anyway, so far we have a few cases of a woman who, for one reason or another, can't drink the soda water, but also forfeits her tzuva. Now there's more cases, continues the Mishnah. Ha'emeres tmeyani, also a woman who says that I am tamei, that in fact that I was mizana. V'shabola edim shitmeya, or where edim came and said that she's tamei, then also, of course, she's not drinking the soda water in either of those cases. Also, Oma Baila Eni Mashka, another case would be where her husband says, I don't want to give her to drink. V'shabayla Baala Abaderech, or where her husband had relations with her on the way, or any time after she became a sota, and before they did the whole sota procedure, which again, that we said that prevents the water from working. So in those last two cases, where the husband doesn't want to give her, or where he had relations with her on the way, noitlus ksuba veloshosis. In those cases, they do get their ksuba, but they don't drink. They don't drink because there has to be their husband's consent in order for her to get the sota water, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. And in the case of Baal El Baderach, it's not going to work anymore. But in those two cases, it's the husband that caused her to not be able to drink the water. Therefore, we can't say that she should forfeit her ksuba because that would be causing him to benefit. So in fact, we give her her ksuba in that case. Okay, continues the Mishnah. I'd said yesterday or the day before actually that in the case where the husband says I don't want to give her a drink, she also forfeits her ksuba. Now we see from that that I was wrong, and in fact in that case she does get her ksuba. Actually the Mishnah of Melech and the Rambam brings up a very interesting point. Bichlal, we're going to talk about more in the Gemara tomorrow that you have, you're talking about in Ksubas as well. You have a woman who's over a veres al das, who's violating mitzvahs in the Torah, where therefore in many cases she can forfeit her ksuba. Here, even if you're going to say that she, in the end, she wasn't mizana, but she certainly was over al das by being alone with this guy where the husband warned her not to, why shouldn't she forfeit her ksuba for that reason alone? Forget about whether she was actually tomei or not. In fact, the Mishnah Lamelech says, on the face of it, even if she came through the whole thing with flying colors, and as we're going to learn later on in the Perek, she now is stronger and she has children and so forth, wasn't she over al das by being alone with this guy in the first place? And the Mishnah Lamelech goes into a long, other Mishnah Lamelech, other Achronim also go into a long arichos about why that should be so, why she still is entitled to her ksuba. The Mishnah Lamelech at one point says that maybe So he starts by saying that after he goes through a few possibilities that maybe the thing is that the warning that she was given, he brings based on a Rashba, that maybe the warning that she's given doesn't necessarily include that she's going to forfeit her ksuba. All the husband told her is alti sasri mishpani, don't be alone with this guy. So maybe therefore that's not enough to cause her to forfeit her ksuba. The Mishnah Lamelech says, maybe. He ends up saying that the vort is, when do we say she forfeits her ksuba as a result of being over al das? It's things that directly affect her husband. For example, in ksubas, we talked about, let's say, for example, where she gives him food that's not meiser or that's not kosher or whatever, or she's not careful in the dinim of nida, and he ends up having relations with her when she's a nida and things like that. Something like this. The stira with somebody else, which doesn't really directly, that's not machshel her husband, then therefore that wouldn't be reason enough for her to forfeit her ksuba. Anyway, the Mishnah goes on to say, the Mishnah goes on to say, Mesu Bale and Achele Shosu. What about another case? What if the husband dies before the woman has a chance to drink the Mei Soita? Now, you need the husband there in order to bring his wife there to drink it. So Veshama says they're still going to be entitled to collect the Ksuba. They don't have to drink because, she would be perfectly able to drink the Soita water. It's the fact that her husband is no longer living that prevents it. Therefore, Veshama says that's not reason enough for them to forfeit the Ksuba. Veshilo says either they're going to drink or they're not going to collect the Ksuba, which the Gemara ends up saying. Obviously, Basil agrees that they can't drink in that case. So Rashi brings from the Gemara that it means because they can't drink, therefore Basil is going to say the Ksuba is forfeit in this case. Why is that? That we're going to learn on the bottom of Chafei Amud Aleph and the top of Chafei Amud Beis. We're going to discuss why Beshama and Basil disagree on that. Next. What happens if a person marries a woman who's already pregnant from somebody else or a woman who's nursing a baby from someone else? Now, we learned back in Yevamos and Exodus that you're not supposed to do, in particular in Yevamos, we learned about that you're not supposed to do that when she's pregnant. You're not supposed to marry her because then the baby may be damaged when the new couple has relations. And when she's nursing, then her milk is going to dry up if she becomes pregnant. So usually you have that she's not allowed to get married until the baby is 24 months old, which is the amount of time that a baby, at least in those times, normally nursed. So now if a new husband married her b'isser, Rav Meir says they don't drink the soda water, and they don't get the ksuba because again they married the iser. The Chum say it's true they married the iser, but yochulhu lach frisho lach zero lachazman, the husband can always separate from her and then remarry her later. So therefore you can't really consider it. That she's completely also to him, unlike the earlier cases in the Mishnah of Almona, Lekohen Gadol, and so forth, where they weren't allowed to get married in the first place, and there's never any heter for it. Here, there will be a heter for it after 24 months, so therefore that's not reason enough to prevent her, say the Chachamim, from drinking the soda water. Machlokes Rishonim, whether La Frisha means they actually have to get divorced and then they'll remarry after the 24 months, or whether it just means they have to separate for a period of time. Whatever the case, the point is, the Chacham say that's not reason enough to bar her from drinking. There is some discussion, by the way, of whether a pregnant woman can drink the soda water at all, or whether we're concerned about. Tosfos points out that in the case of a pregnant woman, there's another reason why we shouldn't have her drink, because there's sakonas nefashis. Maybe not the sakonas nefashis of the baby is not really so much considered a nefesh yet in halacha, but rather the difference between the issue of marrying a pregnant woman versus marrying a different woman is somewhat different, for example, that we learned in Yevamos, that a man is not allowed to marry a woman within 3 months of her first husband dying or divorcing her, because we're concerned she might be pregnant, and then we won't be able to tell whose baby it is. But if they already got married, then Tosfos says that we would still say we're not gonna penalize him anymore and force him to divorce her. So that's the Machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim again about if she's pregnant or nursing. Or if he married her when she's pregnant or nursing. Next, Iloinis, which we learned about extensively in Yevamos and a little bit in Ksubas, is a woman who is naturally infertile, and in particular, she's never going to develop the physical characteristics of womanhood. She never develops shesiris, she never develops breasts, etc. Uzkena, and a woman who's old, so she's already too old to be having children, or where she's incapable of having children. So Rashi explains that would be, for example, she drank a potion that makes her infertile. Toysfus discusses that and says not necessarily would that be. There are different other possibilities of what Einaru Uya Leilud means. Toysfus brings one possibility. For example, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that if a woman first gets married after 40 years old, she's going to be infertile. And the Gemara mentions over there about Benos Flochad, what a mess it was. That even though they first married after 40, they all had children, but generally it's not like that. So that would be one example of Ru'ya Leilud, and there's other examples of Ein Ru'ya Leilud, and there's other examples like that as well. Anyway, so Loin Leutlis Ksuba. Now again, the husband shouldn't have married them because he needs to do Pru'avu, and he can't with such women. So Loin Leutlis Ksuba V'lo Shosis. So the Tanakhama says she can't get a Ksuba because he shouldn't have married her in the first place, and they can't be drinking for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But the basic idea being because they're not supposed to have been married, so again, she's not Ru'u Yaloi. Rabbi Yezer says they're not necessarily off limits. Yochalu Lisa Isha Acheres, Velifis Velibus Hemena. After all, he could marry another wife and do Pru'uvu with her. So that's not reason enough to say that this Ilonis, actually we're going to see in the Gemara, everybody agrees, can't drink because of the different limud in the Pasuk for that. But the other ones, the Skena and so forth, Rabbi Eliezer is saying there's not reason enough to bar them from drinking the Mesota, because just the fact that he's Einar to Uyaloi, the fact is he could marry a second wife and have children with her. Here you have in the Mishnah, you have the little vav from Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah on the word Ilonis, and on the face of it, it goes on all the following ones. In fact, the Rambam paskins that only an Ilonis is barred from drinking, but not the other ones, not the Skena and so forth, based on Rabbi Eliezer's logic. But we're actually going to learn in the Gemara that there's going to be a discussion of Amiroyim within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and we're going to say that there's cases where even the other Chachamim in the Mishnah agree with him. Anyway, any other woman has a choice. She can either drink or she forfeits, or if she doesn't drink, she forfeits uksuba. We gave the list now of women who can't drink. Any other ones have the option of drinking if they want to, and if they don't, then they forfeit the uksuba. Actually, the truth is this list is not exhaustive. We're going to learn. The truth is that this list in the Mishnah is not exhaustive. You have, for example, also later on in the Perek, we're going to learn cases where her husband is blind or she's blind, or her husband has his arm or leg amputated or she does, and we're going to learn from Sukkim that in those cases also she can't drink. But as is often the case, the Mishnah is not listing every possible scenario. As far as the Shemeres Yavam, we'll talk more about her in the Gemara. Anyway, Eishes Koyen Shoyso Muteres Labayla, the Mishnah continues, a Koyen's wife is able to drink the May Sota, just like any other Sota, and if she does, and she comes through it successfully, then she'll be Mutter to her husband. The Gemara is going to ask, what's the Chiddush in that? Why do we think that a Koyen's wife is different than anybody else? Eishes Sris Shoyso, and also the wife of a Sris is also able to drink. Now the Gemara is going to point out like this, a Sris on the face of it can't have relations. There's two kinds of Sris. We learned about them in Yevamos. There's Sris Chama, where a man, which is the male equivalent of an Ilonis, where he was born, he doesn't develop normally as a man does. He doesn't develop Shtei Cyrus and the other signs of adulthood. It can be because of some problem with chromosomes or with hormones or who knows what, whatever, anyway. So that's one kind. And then you have the other kind is Sris Odom, which is something was done to him by people to make him infertile. It can be, for example, an operation that was done where they removed certain parts as Kroschafchop to adapt or whatever. Or you could have, for example, where also, just like a woman, you could have where he drank some kind of potion that makes him infertile. The Gemara is going to point out, you have a rule based on Sukkim. It has to be Kodma Shchivas Baal Laboil. It has to be that the first one to have relations with this woman was the husband, not the boil. It can't be that the boil, the one that she suspected of being Mizana with, would have been the first one to have relations with her even before her husband. Now, in this case, Rashi points out, if he's a Swiss, then on the face of it, how did he have relations with her? So therefore, Rashi says it would have to be necessarily that he became a Swiss after he married her. So therefore, when they married, he was perfectly normal, and later on he developed to be a suis. Later on, Rashi says differently, and in fact, Marsha says over here that the statement in Rashi over here may not be from Rashi himself. Marsha says it may actually be from a Talmud Toya. It may actually be from a mistaken Talmud Toya. He says Gilyan. It may have been a note that was written on the side of Rashi, which eventually by mistake got incorporated into Rashi, because later on in the Gemara on Daf Chof Vav, Rashi explains differently that a Swiss is capable of having relations, because we could be talking about, for example, that he drank a potion to make him infertile or whatever. He's still perfectly capable of having relations, and therefore we can say that there was kod meshivas baal leboil. So therefore it's not necessarily to say, like Rashi is saying over here, that we're talking about that it happened only after he got married. Anyway.
What's the definition of a Swiss?
So a Swiss is a person, as a man who's infertile, which there can be a few different possibilities why. Anyway, so the Mishnah is saying that the wife of a Swiss can drink, and again, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the chiddush? Whether you learn that we're talking about that he became a Swiss only later in life, or whether you're talking about that he became a Swiss but he's still capable of having relations, why is there a chiddush that that his wife should be able to become a Sota and drink the water? So again, we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Al yidei kol arayas mekanin. Now the husband can warn her regarding any arayas, any woman. Meaning, in other words, not just we usually figure kinui, as he tells her, al tisasri and ishpoini, where the ishpoini is some other man not related to them. But in fact, any arayas, he could be mekane. He could tell her, for example, don't be alone with your father or with your brother, even though outside of that, now, for example, you think about it, most men, she's also to be alone with bechlal, even without the kinui. There's a mitzvah, there's an issur of yichud. But a woman is allowed to be alone with her father, so only the kinui makes it that now not. Nevertheless, though, that such a kinui is a valid kinui, and now if she were to be alone for the specified amount of time with her father, then she would become a sota. Why would the husband do that? The pashtus is if he has reason to suspect that there's something going on, but whether that's the case or not, it is a valid kinui. The chutz min ha-katan, with the exception of a katan, because after all, the pasuk says, v'shachav ish oisa, machlokas among the mafoshim, when we say not a cotton, do we mean only up to 9 years old, where his bia is not even a bia, or do we mean up to 13 years old, because the fact is that he's still not a gadol? Umimisha in a ish, or somebody who's not a person, namely if he tells her, don't be alone with this behemoth. It's true that it's also for her to have relations with a behemoth, as we had in last week's parasha. Nonetheless, that's not going to make her a soita if she does, even if she's over on his warning. Continues the mission of Eivush based in Mekanin Lahan. The following cases, Beistin will do the kinui on behalf of the husband because the husband himself is not able to do it. Mishin is Scharish Baila Oshin Eshtata. The first cases are where the husband became deaf, and Cheresh, as usual in the Gemara, means deaf mute. So now he doesn't have das anymore to be Mekane, and he's incapable of speaking anyway to be Mekane. So therefore, Beistin will do it on his behalf. Oshin Eshtata, or he became a Shoita, same problem, he's lacking das to do it. Another case would be if the husband is in jail and he's not able to do it. So in all those cases, we don't mean that their kinui is going to result in that she can drink the soda water. It has to be that the husband himself did the kinui. All it will be is that will amount to a warning that if she keeps this up, she's going to forfeit her ksuba, because again, there was the kinui from Beis Din. If there is stira, she's going to become also to her husband, and again, because she can't drink the soda water, then she's going to remain also to him. So that will be what the kinui accomplishes. And the kinui will also accomplish other things as well. For example, in the next parak, we're going to talk about the idea that the woman is also not only to her husband, but also to the boil. So it has that implication as well. If there was kinui and there was stira, she's also forever also to marry this guy that she was suspected with. Kinui is the warning where the husband warns her, don't be alone with this guy. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi says no. Afla hashkosa, no. The kinui can be effective to give her a drink. When the husband gets out of jail, or in the other examples, if he's no longer a cheresh or shoita or whatever, then he'll be able to give her the drink based on Beistin's warning. So that will be a valid enough reason. In other words, the point is like this. Rashi explains The pasuk says the kine and then behavi. It says the husband warns her and then he brings her. Rav Yossi does not douse him that. So therefore we have a hekesh between the warning and the bringing. That since the husband is the one who has to bring her, then he's also the one who has to warn her in order for the sota process to take place. Whereas Rav Yossi disagrees with that and doesn't hold of that hekesh. Therefore he holds Beis Din can give the warning and then the husband will be the one to bring her. Actually the Meiri learns even more than that. The Meiri says that Beis Din themselves could bring her if necessary to get the drink. You don't even need her husband. You don't even need her husband to be available for that.
Even though it says
the Meiri learns that Rabbi Yossi would say that it doesn't necessarily mean that the Beis Din basically stands in, they become his shluchim. Okay. So, the Gemara starts off, in the first two cases of the Mishnah, Arusa and Shemeres Yovam, we said a woman who's where they've done Erusin, and also the case where she's a Shemeres Yovam, where she's waiting for the Yovam to do Yivam with her. So we said they can't drink the soda water, but they can be subject to kinui. The husband can do kinui for them. So the Gemara says, so let's see, mishtahu delashasya. So the implication is they don't drink the soda water, hokanuya makani, but apparently the husband can do kinui for her. Minohani miri. Now where do we know that from? So to turn it up on, we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says, daber of bnei Yisrael v'amauta. The Torah introduces the parasha of Sota. Hashem tells Moshe, speak to Bnei Yisrael via Marta, and you should say. And Rashi adds the words, and Hagos Habach also adds in the Gemara, Aleihem. The pasuk says, say to them. So that means the words via Marta, Aleihem, L'rabis Arusa, V'shemeres Yovam L'kinui, that comes to include that an Arusa and Shemeres Yovam can be included in Kinui. And therefore, so Kinui with them is valid. An interesting explanation that the Pharisee says the word Aleihem suggests they've yet to be had relations with. He hasn't yet bought Aleihem, he hasn't yet come to them to have relations, and the word Aleihem in the Pasuk therefore is implying that they're already subject to Kinui even before that. So again, the Gemara is going to deal with later the problem that the husband hasn't had relations with her first. We're going to get to that on Omer Beis. But anyway, Umas Nisin Mani Rav Yonasan. So who would our Mishnah go like? Our Mishnah would be like Rav Yonasan. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says when the Kohen is beswearing the woman, he tells her that if you were Mizanet or if you were or weren't Mizanet, Tachas Ishech, under, meaning while you're married to your husband, the words Tachas Ishech, Prafla Arusa. So that's as opposed to an arusa, because at the time she wasn't yet she's not tachas, she's not under her husband yet, they're not fully married. Yochol shani motzi af shemeres yavam. You would think then that we should also exclude by that a shemeres yavam, because after all a shemeres yavam is also not tachas isha yet. Her first husband passed away and she's still waiting for yibum with the second one. No, Talmud Lomer ish divrei Rav Yoshia. So Rav Yoshia says yes, but on the other hand, since the pasuk begins at the beginning of the parasha of Sota, it says ish, then that extra word, those extra words teach us that also a shemeres yavam is subject to drinking the Sota water. So according to Rav Yoshia, when we said in the Mishnah arusa v'shemeres yavam, lo shows us that's the thing. Our Mishnah would not be like Rav Yoshia. Rav Yoshia would say an arusa true, but a shemeres yavam not. A shemeres yavam could perfectly well drink the Sota water. Again, this is where you have the whole discussion that we started talking about before about what Rav Hamnuna says, that Rav Hamnuna holds that if she was Mizana during the time when she's a Shemeres Yavam, she becomes also to the Yavam, she becomes also for Yivam. If we say the halacha is like him, then that would explain why Kinui and Stira at that point is effective, because if it turns out that she was Mizana, that she's also to him. If we say that halacha is not like him, then again, like Rashi said in the Mishnah, in that case, then all we would say is the Yavam has every right to say, I don't want to marry a woman like that. There is an interesting idea, actually, the Beis Halevi of Yosha Ber Brisker says on this, that specifically he says that he learns in Rashi and he explains on various other grounds as well, that what we'd say is, normally indeed we would say, not like Rav Hamnuna, we would say just because she was Mizana as a Shemeres Yavam doesn't make her also to him, but here, because he obviously minds, therefore the Beis Halevi learns, that alone makes her also to him. That alone may, that in that particular case, that makes her also to him for Yivam. So, anyway. So, but again, Rabbi Yoshia says that Rabbi Yoshia says none of that. He says that Shemeres Yavam could drink just like any other woman. Rabbi Yonasan says no. Tachas Ishech prapta Shemeres Yavam. Rabbi Yonasan says no. The words Tachas Ishech come to exclude a Shemeres Yavam. Then Oitzi Shemeres Yavam will Oitzi Esarusa. Well, in that case, you would think only a Shemeres Yavam should be excluded and not Narusa. So Rashi explains like this. In other words, you can look at it that. You can look at it either way. You can look at it that an Arusa or Shemeres Yavam is a stronger thing. You can look at it that an Arusa is stronger because after all, he's the Gemara itself actually is going to explain soon. He himself is Makadisher, as opposed to with the Yavam, and also the fact is, if she is Mizana during the Erusin, then she would be Chayiv Nisa, as opposed to a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, even if we say like Rav Hamnuna, she's also for Yibum. She's still not Chayiv Misa while she's a Shemeres Yavam. So for that reason, you could say that Arusa is stronger, and therefore, if the Pasuk is going to be excluding anything, says Rabbi Yoshia, it's going to be excluded. So Rabbi Yonasan is going to say that Arusa is stronger, has more of a relation with her husband than the Shemeres Yavam does. On the other hand, you could say the Shemeres Yavam, on the other hand, you could say, as the Gemara is going to say soon, the fact is you don't need chuppah, all you need is bia, whereas in the case of an Arusa, you need chuppah and bia. So therefore, you can look at it either way. One is stronger than the other. So Rabbi Yoshia says that the Tachas Ishech excludes an Arusa, but in fact, he says the Shemeres Yavam would be included. She is considered Tachas Isha in the sense that all they need is one thing. All they need is bia, and then that's it. That's a done deal, and they're considered married. Rabbi Yonasan, on the other hand, is taking the view that the Tachas Ishech excludes the Shemeres Yavam. There's less reason to say the Shemeres Yavam is considered married, because after all, he wasn't the Kaddisher. He hadn't been the Kaddisher. It's only as a result of his brother's marriage to her. So then he continues, Otsi Shemeres Yavam vala Otsi Es Arusa. In that case, you would think that we should still include the Arusa. No, Talmud Lomar, you have a different time where it says Tachas Asher Tista Isha, Tachas Isha. The Pasuk finishes off and summarizes. It says, these are the dinim when a woman is Mizana under her husband, Prapla Arusa. So as opposed to an Arusa. So he ultimately says that both of them are excluded from different psukim. So okay, our Mishnah brought only one pasuk, fine, it's still the basic din is according to Rabbi Yochanan, is according to Rabbi Yonasan. Our Mishnah just didn't want to bother bringing both psukim. But it does hold like Rabbi Yonasan, because according to Rabbi Yoshia, you would say that a Shemeres Yavam does drink soda water.
If he gave her the
right. Well, so that's the Maimer is only Kohenim and Rabban.
But that together would bring Zikr.
No, but it's still not enough. Because the fact is, you don't need chuppah. You only need bia at that point. But the truth is that Gemara and Yevamos that I was referring to before does mention Maimer as one possibility. You have the opinion that's mentioned in a few places in Ksumas, the opinion of Bishamai that holds Maimer Kohenim Yevamah Kinyan Gomer. That Bishamai and a few other Tanoim hold that Maimer does create a complete Kinyan. And therefore, that might be a reason why our Mishnah is mentioning an Arusa and how the Kinui could be valid in the first place. So the Gemara does bring up that possibility. But La Halacha, where Maimer only accomplishes anything in the Rabbanon, then yeah, it's yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, Mar Aliva Le Arusa. So. Rabbi Yoshia figures that an Arusa is stronger. Rabbi Yonasan rather figures that an Arusa is stronger. She has more of a relationship with her husband and can be called Tachas Ishech. And only because we have a second Tachas Ishech do we exclude her as well. Because he holds, because after all, the Kiddushi Didei was Sokhlan Ayodi. Because after all, number one, it was his own Kiddushi as opposed to his brother's. And number two, if she would have been Mizana as an Arusa, she would get Skila. And Naira Amoros anyway gets Skila as opposed to a Shemeres Yavam doesn't get the maximum she would get as Malchus. Umar Alimalei Shemeres Yavam, whereas Rabbi Yoshia holds that the Shemeres Yavam is stronger than a Mechser, a Mesira L'Chuppah, because there's not lacking to give her to the Chuppah, whereas a regular marriage, you need Chuppah, and only then do they do Bia. So therefore, there's an extra step missing.
The Rabbani can go to it with Bia also.
You can be Makadish with Bia, that's something else. But Makadish with Bia only makes Kiddushin, we're talking about Nisui.
Oh, yeah.
For them to be fully married, they'd still need Chopan. Okay. So the question is, Rabbi Yonasan hai ish ish my Ovidle. Well, if Rabbi Yonasan is not learning from the word ish ish to include a Shemeres Yavam, then what is he doing with the words ish ish? The answer is, he says you need to include it also, you need to have it to include also the wife of a cheresh, the eshes shoyta, and the wife of a shoyta, whereas we said in the Mishnah, they don't have the ability to be mekane themselves, based enough to do it on their behalf. The eshes shimum, and also the wife of a man who is suffering from shimum. So Rashi explains, shimum, Rashi translates as timhoin leib, which literally means like timhoin means like an astonishment or an emptiness of the heart. Rashi, you know, it's mentioned in the Toshul Klan, Parshas Bisavoy, and Rashi defines it over there as basically his heart is closed up. So like, for example, we're talking about a person who's suffering from depression or something like that, or some other condition like that, where again, he doesn't realize what's going on. And a different explanation, one of the Achorin in the Minchas Knois says you could also have a case, in Shulchan Aruch it talks about that you can have a case, for example, of a person he's not technically a shoita, but he's very unaware of how things work in the world. He doesn't have the seichel to understand when you have two things that contradict one another. You have people like that, you know, that they hear one thing, okay, you know, yeah, makes sense, and then they hear another thing, yeah, makes sense, and they don't realize that the two things contradict each other. Such a person, for example, a fossil ages, because they have no idea how things work in the world. So therefore, Eishes Shimum could also include a person like that, where the husband is like that, he has no idea, he has no understanding of how things work and how things might contradict each other, and therefore, for example, you know, he sees that his wife is going into seclusion with other men, and it doesn't even occur to him that there's a problem with it, so we're based enough to do it on his behalf. But anyway, so Rabbi Yoshi would say, so Rabbi Yonason would say that the word ish is including such examples, but not like Rabbi Yoshi would say that includes a shemeres yom. Which Tosfos goes into a very very long arichus over here dealing with the whole question of why we even need to ask what Rabbi Yoshia would do with the words ish. Why don't we just say Dibra Torah, Peloshim Bnei Adam? Why don't we just say the Torah uses common terminology and the common way to start by saying that something applies to every person in Loshon Kodesh, in Tanakh, Loshon Kodesh, would be to say ish. So Tosfos goes into a very, very long discussion about the ins and outs of that when we say Dibra Torah, Peloshim Bnei Adam, when we say it's for a Durasha. In any case, here the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yonason has to do something with it for a Durasha, and the answer is he's dashing it for the Eishes Cheresh and so forth. Okay. What is Rabbi Yoshia doing with the words tachas isha? Where we said, so now Rabbi Yonason, we said, says, because it says tachas ish sheikh when the Kohen is speaking to her, and again tachas isha at the end when it's summarized, when the Torah is summarizing the whole thing, then therefore we learn from that that there are two cases being excluded, one being the Arusa and one being the Shemeres Yavam. Where Rabbi Yoshia says the Shemeres Yavam, Rabbi Yonason rather says that Shemeres Yavam is being excluded by the first Tachas Ishek and the Arusa by the second one Tachas Isha. Now, so how does Rabbi Yoshia learn differently? What does he do with the Tachas Isha? What does he do with Tachas Isha with the second one?
The extra words.
It's extra words, yeah. The Torah says at the end, Zois Torah Saknois, this is the rule of the warnings, of the jealousies, Ashatista Isha Tachas Isha, where a woman goes astray under her husband, Vinitma, and she becomes Tame. The whole pasuk, you could argue, is redundant, but certainly the words Tachas Isha, who else would she be going astray from other than her husband? So obviously we have to douch in something from it. So Rabbi Yoshia, so again, Rabbi Yonason is douching from it that you have another case where she doesn't drink because she's not fully tahas isha, namely the Arusa. Even though he holds the Arusa has a stronger relationship with her chosen, because after all, it's his kiddushin, and because it's strong enough to make her chayiv misa if he is mizana. Nevertheless, the second tahas isha tells us the fact is she's not tahas because she's not fully married to him. They're still living apart. She's living at home, and while she's preparing for her wedding. But now, Rabbi Yoshia holds that only one woman is being excluded, only the Arusa. The Shemeres Yavam, he says, does drink the soda water. So what is he doing with Tachas Isha? The answer is, Miboyle v'hakish ish le'isha v'isha le'ish. He uses it to teach us that we make a hekish between the husband and the wife, and vice versa, between the wife and the husband, as far as we're going to learn at the end of the parak that, for example, that if the husband is blind, then his wife cannot drink the soda water, because the pasuk says v'ne'la me'ene isha, the matter was hidden from her husband's eyes, implying that her husband has eyes to see what's going on, and he didn't know, though, that this is actually what she's doing, implying that if he doesn't have eyes, then therefore she can't drink. So now we learn from the hekesh that the same way if she it doesn't have eyes, if she is blind, then she doesn't drink the soda water either. And so forth. The Gemara is going to go through on Daf Chav Zayin a number of physical handicaps where if the husband, we learn from various psukim that if the husband has them, then she can't drink, and we learn from the Hekish that if the wife has those same handicaps, she can't either. And vice versa, we're going to learn from certain psukim that there are certain handicaps that if the woman has them, she can't drink. And vice versa, if the husband has those same handicaps, then also not. So we learn that from this Hekish, says Rav Yoshia. We learn that from Tachas Isha. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, Ela time of the Chassidi Hanikroi. Now let's consider. So what are we saying? The reason why we don't give the Arusa to drink, because of these psukim, Rav Yoshia's and Rav Yonason's psukim respectively, Holam Hochi Hava Amin Arusa Shasya, implying if it weren't for that, we would have thought, by the way, Tosfos points out that, Taka, where would each one of them know the other one's Levodim? The fact is, when we're saying that we have to include an Eres Eishas Cheresh and Eishas Shoita and so forth, and vice versa, where we need to say that if she's blind or he's blind, etc., that they don't drink, where does each other learn it from? Unless we're going to have to say, would we have to say that they disagree with those dinim? So Tosfos leaves the question open. So Ela Taima Dechtivi Hanikroi. So what are you saying? Only because it says these psukim, are we saying therefore that an arusa, and according to Rav Yonason, and a Shemeres Yavam doesn't drink, Hola Pochi Hava Min Arusa Shasya. If it weren't for that, you would have thought that an arusa is capable of drinking the soda water. The problem with that is, Vahoki Osa Rav Acha Bachanina Midaroima, but when Rav Acha Bachanina came from the south, of Eretz Yisrael, the Bachrus. Also, he came with all knowing his learning well. The icy masnisa v'yedei, he brought with him a new brisa that the Chachamim had not known of before. The brisa says, now when the Kohen is besuing the woman, he says, if any man has lain with you, mibal ade ishech, aside from your husband, so that implies that her husband had already previously had relations with her, and now she's suspect of having relations with somebody else as well. So from that we learn, mishakodma shrivas baal laboy. It has to be that the husband's relations with her came before the potential relations that the boil did. If it's a scenario where the boil may have had relations with her even before the husband did, then she's excluded from the rule of the soita. Now, in Arusa, her husband hasn't yet had relations with her. It's the first time they have relations is after chuppah, after nisuing. So then, in that case, automatically, an Arusa is not going to be drinking anyway. Why do we need tachas ishech to exclude her? So the answer is, you could still have the scenario where the Orus had relations with her, and it was Nus while she's still in her father's house, while she's in Arusa. So in other words, it's true he's not allowed to have relations with her at that point, but let's say he was over on that and did that. So therefore, you do have Shrivas Baal before Shrivas Boil, but nevertheless, the Pasuk is telling us from Tachas Ishech that she's not going to drink the soita water later on when she's suspect of being, a soita.
Even though it's her own husband.
So no. What we mean is, in other words, no, obviously he's not being Makane with her for himself. What we mean is, they had relations while she's in Arusa. Now, later on, while she's in Arusa, he's had reasons to suspect that she's also being Mizana with somebody else, and he did Kinnery, and then there was Stira.
But if he had with her a relationship, then it won't work anyhow because it's only he had.
So according to the Rambam, that would seem to be a problem because according to the Rambam, any diasura would make him osur. And Mephoshim answer that maybe according to the Rambam, we would say since this is only an isur derabbanon, because midaraisa there's not necessarily a problem with them having relations, only derabbanon. Maybe that wouldn't be it. So what we not so much it wouldn't be a problem, but. Until that we need the pasuk, until the Chachamim came and asked it, during however long it was, from when the Torah was given, until the Chachamim asked the Arus to have relations with the Arusa, then you need that. Nevertheless, even though it was perfectly allowed during that time for them to have relations, nevertheless, still you have the pasuk, Tachas Ishech, that excludes you from drinking the soda water. It's true that once the Chachamim made that rule, then anyway they would be excluded because he was over on an issue. According to Rashi, the question doesn't begin in the first place, because according to Rashi, it's only BS issue that prevents the soda water from working is only if he had relations with her after she became a soda. Anyway, so Rami Bahama is saying, so you can have the case where the Oros already had relations with her. So therefore, we do have Kodma Shchivas Baal Leboil. But nevertheless, though, the fact is, she's an Arusa. And therefore the Pasuk is excluding her from drinking the soda water. But the Gemara asked the Kabasa, well, in that case, then we have to say something similar, Gabi Shemeres Yavam. In that case, after all, the Mishnah is putting together Arusa and Shemeres Yavam. So you would have to say that, something similar as far as the Shemeres Yavam. You'd have to say, so you'd have to be talking about the Yavam had relations with her while she's living in her father-in-law's house after his brother passed away. So again, you have to have Kodma Shchivas Baal Leboil. So on the face of it, it has to be that the Yavam had relations with her before she ever suspected being a Sota. Well, the problem with that is, Ha Shemeres Yavam Karis Law, how are you calling her a Shemeres Yavam in that case? Ishter Mal Yasihi. Isn't she a full-fledged wife in that case? All you need for Yibum, at least on a Darat Isa level, is only relations. Rav says that even if the Yavam has relations with her b'shoigig, or even that he does it for purposes of znus, now the Mishnah says they are Yavamas. The Mishnah says, when the Yavam has relations with the Yavama, whether b'shoigig, whether b'mezid, even b'oynas or whatever, then he's still koina. And Rav says, now Rav says that means that he acquires her as his wife for all purposes, meaning that if, for example, if the Yavam is a koin, she can continue eating truma. And that if she dies at that point, he yashins her, and so forth. So therefore, according to Rab, how is there a scenario where he had relations with her and it still wouldn't be that Yibum has been accomplished? Once they have relations, then Yibum has been accomplished. He's not a Shemeres Yavam anymore. And if he hasn't had relations with her yet, then you have Kodma Shchivas Boyol Lebal. And then automatically, then the Sota procedure doesn't work because it has to be that her husband had relations with her first. So the Gemara answers, okay, so we're holding Kishmuel. So you know what? When it comes to Shemeres Yavam, we're holding like Shmuel. De Omar, Loi Kone El Dvarim HaMuna B'Parsha. Shmuel says that when we say that if they had relations, and even if it was for the sake of Znus or whatever, it's enough to make her his wife, Shmuel holds that applies only to certain things that it mentions there in the Parsha of Yavam. Namely, that so now, he inherits his brother's property, as his brother was married to her before, and now he wants to divorce her, he gives her a get instead of chalitza. Those things, Shmuel said, for those purposes, consider that the Yibum has taken place. But as far as everything else, no, it would have to be that they had relations for the sake of marriage, says Shmuel. Well, therefore, so you could have the scenario, they had relations for the sake of Znus. So according to Shmuel, she's not fully considered married yet. She's still, to a certain extent, a Shemeres Yavam. So now the Mishnah would be telling us, even though so far so good, you have Kodma Shchivas Baal Leboil, but because she's a Shemeres Yavam, says Rav Yonasan, and our Mishnah follows that still she can't drink the soap. Okay. Because they had in mind for Znus rather than for Yen.
Either they had in mind, she did marry.
Right, well, that's the point. Shmuel was saying they're married only to a certain extent. In order for there to be a complete Yibum, that now we should say, for example, that she should be considered his wife for other purposes, for that you would need that they had relations, having in mind that it's for the sake of Yibum. So the Gemara asks, in that case, Ihochi, Lamer Rav, the Amakir of Yoshi, or Shmuel, the Amakir of Yonasan. In that case, does it come out that Rav and Shmuel are essentially just having the same machlokas as Rav Yoshi and Rav Yonasan? And as usual, when the Gemara asks that, then the point of the question is, then why are they bothering to repeat the machlokas? Just let Rav say the halacha is like Rav Yoshi, and Shmuel should say the halacha is like Rav Yoshi. But the answer is, Omalach Rav, the answer is, Rav can answer you, I'm not the Amri Afilu Rav Yonasan. Rav would say, what I'm saying works even according to Rav Yonasan. Obviously, what I'm saying works very nicely according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says that Shemeres Yavam does in fact drink, and Rav who says that when they had relations, she becomes his wife for all purposes. So according to Rav, in other words, basically, there's really no case of a Shemeres Yavam not being able to drink because necessarily you have to be talking about where they had relations first, otherwise called Mashilas Boyal Abal. And once they have relations, then they're considered fully married. So therefore, so there's no time really when we would exclude a Shemeres Yavam on the basis of the words Tachas and Sheikh. So, but Rav would say, nevertheless, what I'm saying works even according to Rav Yonasan. Midi Itzirich Krol Ma'uta. Precisely because the Torah, according to Rabbi Yonasan, needs to use the words tachas isha to tell us that a shemeres yavam, the tachas isheich rather, to tell us that the shemeres yavam doesn't drink, miklal de ishtei mal yasini. Therefore, from that alone, we see that other than that, she would be considered his wife 100%. So it's one thing, again, like we said before, Rabbi Yonasan would hold that an arusa is considered more of a wife than a shemeres yavam. So according to Rab, with the fact that we need a posit, so Rab would say the fact that we need a posit to exclude her means that even Rabbi Yonasan, who has that posit to exclude her, would agree with me, says Rab, that once they have relations, they're fully married. Nonetheless, though, the posit is saying that nevertheless, she's not subject to the dinim of Soita because the kinery took place while she was still a Shemeres Yavam. So Rashi goes on to say that definitely there's no question that Rav can go according to Rav Yoshia, who says that Rashi says when we said before that Rav Yoshia learns from Ish that a Shemeres Yavam drinks, Rashi says that's actually only an Asmachta. Really, Rav Yoshia agrees with what we said before that it means that it comes to include where the husband is a cheresh or shoyter or what have you. The fact that he said that from ish we learn a shemeres yavam, Rashi said is really only an asmachta. Tosfos disagrees with that and then says it's not an asmachta, but you don't really need to say that. The fact that it says tachas ishef implies that he had relations with her for ishus and otherwise not. So if they had relations, the same issues, then after that he did kinnery, then fine, but if not, then not. So what Rav is saying would work according to Rav Yoshia, no question about it, and it could even be made to work according to Rav Yonasan. Then Shmuel would say vice versa. I'm not the Amri after the Rav Yoshia. What I'm saying that if the Yavam and Yavama have relations and it's not L'shem Yibum, it's L'shem Znus or whatever, that they're not fully married. They're only married, as Shmuel said, only as far as the thing that it says in the parasha, that he inherits his brother's property and that if he wants to divorce her after that, he gives her a get. But not, for example, that if he's a Kohen, she can start eating Truma, or that if she dies at that point, he will Yashin her. Shmuel holds that not. So Shmuel says, what I'm saying, after the little Rav Yoshia, can work, even according to Rav Yoshia. Same thing. Since Rabbi Yoshia would say that you need a posuk in order to include that a Shemeres Yavam does drink, that he said you're learning from the word ish, then he would say Miklal v'lav ish dehi klal. That implies that otherwise you wouldn't really consider her his wife, because otherwise you shouldn't need any posuk to tell us, of course, that her husband can be mekaneh for his wife and have her drink the soda water. So the very fact that the Torah has to tell us with the word ish that you include a shemeres yavam means that other than that, we wouldn't have said they're considered married. And again, Rashi adds that what Shmuel is saying can certainly work according to Rav Yonasan. Rav Yonasan says she doesn't drink at all because she's not his wife. And therefore, the fact that Rabbi Yonasan brings a positive word from Tachas Isha, again, Shmuel would say is only an asmachta, that really we learn from it what we said before to make a hekesh between the husband and the wife. So that would kind of, the way Rashi is learning would kind of answer Tosfos' question from before. Tosfos wondered if we're saying that Rabbi Yoshia is using the word ish, Rabbi Yonasan is using ish to include the wife of a cheresh and so forth, and Rabbi Yonasan is using the Tachas Isheth to make a hekesh between the husband and the wife. Well, how are they going to learn each other's drushas? According to Rashi, it comes out very neatly. Each one of those is saying that drusha is really only an asmachta. Really, I'm learning, really, the Gemara is saying over here, each one of them is learning. Rav and Shmuel can say respectively that each of them is learning that she is, that the Shemeres Yavam is considered fully his wife or isn't considered fully his wife, as the case may be, and automatically that leads to the respective dinim of Sota. And therefore, the psukim that they brought are really only asmachtas, and therefore they can really use them for the other drushas that we said. So it includes an erishas cheresh, and we make the hekesh between the husband and the wife as far as the various physical defects. Again, you have that Gemara in Yevamos that deals with this whole question also and gives a few other possible answers. One of them being that we could be talking about where the Yavam did Yevama, where the Yavam did Maimer with the Yavama, but they haven't yet done Bia, and the Shammai holds that makes her fully his wife. Nevertheless, we're saying that the because you don't have Shriva, you don't have Kodma Shrivas Baal Boyle, therefore she's excluded, but maybe Kinui during that time would be effective. And the Gemara gives a few other answers over there, and the Gemara ends up saying that maybe you're right, maybe he can't actually do a Kinui while she's in Arusa, but when we learned before, and we learned in the previous parak, that when the Kohen beswears her and she answers Omen, Omen, and she includes in that Omen Shalei Sotisi Arusa, that I'm saying Omen, that I was never Mizana while I was in Arusa, it's true, the husband wouldn't be able to beswear her on that alone. But once he's already beswearing her that she wasn't Mizana while they're fully married, then he can already, through Gilgal Shavua, he can include also that she didn't when she was in Arusa.
Other brothers can jump in and take action, and then,
That's true, but that's what we're saying. In other words, you can't necessarily do a kinui while she's a Shemeras Yavam. The question would be also, though, if she is Mizana while she's a Shemeras Yavam, would that have any effect according to Rav Amnuna? It makes her also to do Yavam with any of them according to everybody else. No. There are also the Gemara mentions there the possibility, or Rishonim mentioned the possibility that maybe Kodma Shrivas Baal Leboil, maybe it's good enough that her first husband, the first brother, was married to her and had relations with her. Maybe that would also be Yotze as far as Kodma Shrivas Baal Leboil, to the extent that we can say that now the Yavam has the ability to do kinyan with her. As far as what you're saying, there are other brothers, and you could easily say the case, the scenario could be where there is only the one brother, and therefore automatically he's the one that's going to be doing Yibum or not.
Okay.